the invitation. So this is our drawing, my talk. So first I explain basics of traditional quantum systems. And also then I explain the main subject of this talk, which is fine-grained version of quantum systems. But finally, I also explain T-scaling and stabilizer. Okay. So first I explain background of traditional quantum supremacy. So one of the most important goals in quantum computing is theoretically show that quantum computing is faster than classical computing. And in terms of complexity theory, this means BQP is not equal to BQP. And this is not yet shown. And we believe that showing this is extremely difficult, because if you can show this, then you can also show this separation between P and P states, which is one of the long-standing open problems in classical complexity theory. Okay. But of course, we believe that quantum computing is faster than classical computing. And the reason is there are many evidences that suggest quantum is faster than classical. And actually, all these results are categorized into the following four approaches. So now I explain each of them. Okay. So first approach is query complexity. So you assume that some part of algorithm is just Oracle. So you can implement this with a single step. And you count the number of queries to the Oracle. Do you say that quantum computing is faster than classical computing if the number of queries is fewer than classical one? Okay. And for example, Glover and Simon's algorithm are a nice example of this query complexity. And this query complexity is standard approach in complexity theory, and we can show many nice results, unconditional results, that separate between quantum and classical. But one disadvantage is this query complexity is not necessarily equal to the real-time complexity. Second approach is showing, so you evaluate real-time complexity, and you show that your quantum algorithm is faster than classical best-known algorithm. So factoring is a very famous example. So we know that factoring is slow for classical, but this is fast for quantum. But this does not necessarily mean there is no mathematical proof that factoring is really slow for classical. So in principle, maybe someone can find some fast classical algorithm for factoring. And if someone can find such algorithm, then quantum advantage no longer exists for factoring. Okay? And actually, so one disadvantage of this approach is a classical best algorithm could be updated. Okay? And as you know, there are some examples of some quantum-inspired classical fast algorithms. Okay? So now I explain the main subject of this talk, sampling. And in sampling, we don't solve any problem like factoring, but what we do is just a sampling. So let this U be an n-qubit quantum circuit, and this PZ is the probability of that this circuit output n-bit string Z. Okay. And so we have two different types of definitions of sampling. And the first definition is multiplicative error sampling. So we say that if this quantum probability is classically sampled within a multiplicative error epsilon in time t, So this means there exists some classical t time algorithm, probabilistic algorithm, that outputs z with probability 2z. And this classical algorithm is equal to very close to quantum algorithm in this sense. So this is the definition of multiplicative error sampling. And another definition is additive error sampling. So definition is the same, but instead of this multiplicative error approximation, we consider this L1 norm approximation. Okay? And in quantum supremacy theory, we show that if a quantum computing is classically sampled in this sense, then something strange happens, like polynomial hierarchy collapses also. Okay, and more precisely, for multiplicative error case, we can show the following result. So if some sub-universal model is classically sampled within a multiplicative error epsilon, then the polynomial hierarchy collapses to the third level. And this result calls for many sub-universal models, like depth-four circuit by Tahar and DiVincenzo, or IQP circuit by Bremner, Joseph Shepard, and boson sampling by Aronson, Akhov, and DQC1 model, or one clean qubit model by Neil and Laframe. Okay. And so if you can sample these models, then a polynomial hierarchy collapses to the third level. And to show this collapse, you use this relation. So you show that if you can sample, then post BQP is equal to post BQP. Okay. Recently, it turned out that actually you can collapse a polynomial hierarchy to the second level by considering this relation. So we show that if these models are classically sampled in multiplicative error sense, then polynomial hierarchy collapses to the second level. So to show this, we use this another relation between NQP and NP.
Sorry, what is NQP?
So NQP is a quantum version of NP. So usually we define NP by using witness. And the quantum version of this witness definition of NP is QMA or QCMA. But we can also define NP by using a probabilistic polynomial time machine. So language is in NP if there exists a probabilistic polynomial time machine such that for yes case, acceptance probability is positive. But for no case, acceptance probability is equal to zero. So intuitively, this means if there exists some witness, then if you randomly flip coin, your acceptance probability is non-negative. And if there is no witness, then whatever you do, your acceptance probability is zero. So somehow, instead of receiving witness, just you randomly guess, and if there exists some fact, then you can get solution with some non-zero probability. But anyway, so if you quantize this definition of NP, then you have this NP.
What do you mean by quantize this definition?
So this means you replace this PPT machine with polynomial time quantum machine, and everything is the same. And we don't know any relation between this NQP and QMA or QCMA. So just we have two different types of definitions for quantum NP. But anyway, so you can show that if these subuniversal models are classically sampled, then NQP is in NP. Okay? And this means the collapse of the polynomial hierarchy to the second level because of this relation. So AM is in the second level. So we have second level collapse. And for additive error case, we can show similar result. So if a subuniversal model is classically sampled within an additive error, then polynomial hierarchy collapses to the third level. Okay? And so this result holds for many subuniversal models, like IQP, boson sampling, DQC1, random circuit, and so on. Okay? But for additive error sampling case, we must be careful that we need another extra conjecture, which is so-called average case hardness, Sharpe hardness conjecture. So this is a following. So computing some function f of z within some constant multiplicative error for at least some constant fraction of z is Sharpe hard. And this f of z is some classical function, like Ising partition function or permanent. So this is a conjecture, but if you slightly modify this conjecture, you can show this statement. So for example, if you replace multiplicative error computation with exact computation, then you can show this. So for example, permanent is Sharpe hard for average case, but this is only for exact computation. Okay? And also, if you replace the average case with the worst case, then you can show this. But for this statement, this is still a conjecture. So we don't know how to show this. Okay? And only for boson sampling case, we also need additional conjecture, which is so-called anti-concentration conjecture. Okay? So for other models like IQP, DQC1, random circuit, we don't need any anti-concentration conjecture. So this is just a lemma. So we can show anti-concentration lemma. For boson sampling case, this is just a conjecture, so you have to assume. Okay. And so far I have explained sampling stuff. And another interesting approach, the fourth approach is shallow quantum circuit. So I don't explain these details, but for the completeness, let me quickly explain this approach. So in quantum sampling, we separate weak quantum machine, weak subuniversal quantum machine, and universal classical machine. Okay, but of course, we need some complexity conjecture. But on the other hand, in shallow circuit approach, you separate some very weak quantum machine and very weak classical machine. Okay? But a nice advantage here is this separation is unconditional. So you don't need any complexity assumption. Okay, anyway, so let's move on to the main subject of this talk, a fine-grained version of quantum systems. So, so far I have explained some basics of traditional quantum strategy, which says sub-universal models cannot be classically simulated in polynomial time unless polynomial hierarchy collapses. So this result excludes polynomial time classical simulation of quantum computers. But it does not say anything about possibility of exponential time classical simulation. So maybe you can classically simulate these sub-universal models in exponential time. So for example, maybe you can simulate DQC1 model in this classical exponential time. But maybe you might think that studying exponential time classical simulation is not so important because this is infeasible. But this is not so true. So for example, near-term medium-sized machine should be small. So maybe we can classically simulate by using supercomputer, even if it takes exponential time. And also, there are many nice algorithms, classical algorithms, to simulate quantum computing in some non-trivial exponential time. So for example, they show that Clifford plus T quantum circuit can be classically simulatable in this non-trivial exponential time. So maybe we want to show how this can be improved. So maybe we need some lower bound for this algorithm. Okay? So one important question is, can we exclude exponential time classical simulation quantum computing? So traditional quantum supremacy exclude only polynomial time classical simulation. But now we want to show that also exponential time classical simulation is also probability. Okay. Okay, and for this goal, standard complexity theory will not work because they are not so fine-grained. So usually they care about polynomial or exponential. Okay. But fortunately, in classical computer science, people study fine-grained complexity theory. Okay. So for example, they assume some conjecture like strong exponential time hypothesis or orthogonal vector, three-sum, all-pair shortest path. And based on these conjectures, they derive some lower bound classical algorithms. Okay. So the main result of this talk is based on these fine-grained conjecture, we can show that sub-universal models cannot be classically simulated, even in some exponential time. And before explaining details of this result, let me mention two related works. So first, they studied IQP QAOA boson sampling model, and they show similar result that these models cannot be classically sampled in within multiplicative error in some exponential time. Okay. And also they studied strong simulation of quantum computing. So strong simulation is not sampling, but just you compute probability distribution of quantum computing, output probability of quantum computing. Okay. And they show that a strong simulation of some quantum circuit require exponential time if you assume ETH. Okay. So now I explain exponential time hypothesis. So you are given some very difficult problem. So you have to find a solution among exponentially many possibilities. So for example, you have to find some optimal route given some map of subway, for example. And the P versus NP conjecture says you cannot solve this problem in polynomial time. And ETH is stronger version of this P versus NP. Or more pessimistic version of this conjecture. So this means you cannot solve this problem in this type. So this is a small order of n. So you need some exponential time to solve this problem. And strong exponential time hypothesis is a stronger version of ETH, which says you need almost this time to solve this problem. So this means only brute force computation is brute force computation is necessary. Almost brute force is necessary to solve this problem. So this is a strong ETH. So more precisely, CES is the following statement. So for any positive constant A, There exists an integer k such that a KCNF SAT problem over n variables cannot be solved in this exponential time. This is just SES. And if you use this SES, you can show some classical lower bound, exponential time classical lower bound for strong simulation. But unfortunately for sampling, we have to modify this SES. So we make three modifications.
Sorry, this is for worst case, the statement.
Yes, you are. So this is an important point. So another interesting future subject is, so actually they have some average version of such conjecture. So based on this average conjecture, I want to show average case fine grained quantum spirit. But this is another subject. So anyway, we have three modifications. So first modification is, in SES, they consider KCNF, but here we consider log depth Boolean circuit. So log depth Boolean circuit is more general than KCNF. So this means this modification makes our conjecture more reliable. Okay. Second modification is in SES, they consider SAT problem. Okay. So there exist a solution or not. But here we consider this gap problem. So gap is defined in this way. So this is just the difference between the number of solution minus number of non-solution. Okay. Your task is you have to decide whether this gap is non-zero or equal to zero. Okay. And this, actually, we don't know what happened if we do this modification. But at least at this moment, there is no efficient algorithm to solve this decision problem, except for directly computing the number of solutions. This means, at least at this moment, this modification also makes our conjecture more reliable. Okay. And third modification is, in original SES, they consider deterministic classical algorithm. But here, we modify, we replace this with non-deterministic algorithm. And of course, non-deterministic is very strong, stronger than deterministic. So maybe this modification makes our conjecture less reliable. But again, at least at this moment, we don't know any non-deterministic algorithm that can solve this problem faster than deterministic algorithm. At least at this moment, this is safe. Okay, so based on this conjecture, I can show this result. So intuitively, this says one clean qubit model, for example, one clean qubit model cannot be classically simulated in this exponential time, okay, if you assume this conjecture. So more precisely, there exists some n-qubit one clean qubit model, which cannot be classically simulated within a multiplicative error in this time, in this exponential time. Okay. And so first remark is, this is optimal because if you spend this time, you can simulate n-qubit quantum computer. So just you store your state vector in this 2 to n dimensional vector, and if you update in the Schrödinger picture, of course you can simulate. So this is just upper bound of classical simulation. Okay, and this is almost close to this one. So this means this lower bound is optimal. Okay. Also, by using similar proof, you can show similar result for other sub-universal models, like HC1Q models. Okay. So now I explain basic idea of proof. I cannot explain details, but just I can explain ideas. So first, I use this result. So their result. So they show that any log depth Boolean circuit can be computed in this circuit. Okay. So here you use only single work qubit, and this is just a qubit which encode your input. And you apply some single qubit rotated gate here. Then finally, you can compute this F. But this circuit works only for log depths. The reason is this depth is 4 to D. So these are depths of this Boolean circuit. So if D is polynomial, this depth is exponential. So that's why we can use only log depth Boolean circuit. From this circuit, we can construct some unitary circuit. whose acceptance probability is proportional to gap function of F. So this is just easy. You generate a superposition. First, you apply Adamal and you generate superposition of all X. And then you run this circuit. And finally, you apply Z. And again, you apply Adamal. Then you get this relation. Okay. Then from this circuit V, we construct following one clean qubit. So this is just one clean qubit. Okay. And so by direct computation, you can verify that if gap is non-zero, then acceptance probability here is positive. But if gap is zero, then acceptance probability here is equal to zero. So now assume that this one clean qubit model is classically simulated. So this means there exists some classical this exponential time algorithm that accepts with this probability. And this classical probability is close to quantum probability in this multiplicative error sense. Then if gap is non-zero, then acceptance probability of classical machine is positive. But if gap is zero, then acceptance probability of classical algorithm is zero. So this means you can decide this in non-deterministic this exponential time. But this contradicts the conjecture. Okay. So therefore, you cannot classically simulate this one clean qubit. Okay. So far, I have explained based on strong exponential time hypothesis, but actually there are other conjectures, fine-grained conjectures. For example, orthogonal vector or three sum or all pair shortest path. Okay? And I can also show fine-grained quantum supremacy based on these other conjectures. So for example, orthogonal vector is the following conjecture. So you are given set of vectors, and you have to find some pair of vectors that are also known with each other. So they conjecture that complexity of solving that problem is this size. Okay. And based on this, you can show some hardness of strong classical simulation of quantum sum. But if you want to show hardness of sampling, then again, you have to modify this conjecture in this gap non-deterministic version. So now gap is just the difference between the number of orthogonal vectors minus number of non-orthogonal vectors. And based on this conjecture, I can show that quantum circuit cannot be classically sampled in this exponential time. So I have some n-qubit quantum machine. This n-qubit quantum machine cannot be classically simulated in this exponential time. And the important point is orthogonal vector is derived from strong exponential time hypothesis. So this means orthogonal vector is more reliable than CES. So this means even if CES is refuted, still orthogonal vector could survive. And the second example is three sum. So three sum is the following problem. So you are given a set of integers, and you have to find a triple of integers whose sum is equal to zero. And people believe that to solve that problem, you need this time. Okay? And again, if I modify this gap non-deterministic version, so gap is just the difference between the number of nice triple minus number of bad triple. Okay? Then, based on this conjecture, I can show that n-qubit quantum sub-universal models cannot be classically sampled in this exponential time. Okay? The important point is no relation is known between CES and 3SUM. So this means even if CES is refuted, 3SUM could survive. So this is some kind of risk hedge. Okay. Okay, so finally, I explain additive error version of fine-grained supremacy. So I cannot explain details, but so far I have explained only multiplicative error sampling. And people often criticize that multiplicative error sampling is unrealistic. Okay. So maybe you have to show additive error sampling in this. But again, it turns out that according to recent Google experimental paper, additive error is still very difficult. So they say that we cannot realize this additive error sampling. Anyway, so still additive error is very difficult. But anyway, theoretically, we have to show this. Okay? And so if you assume this conjecture, so this is very complicated. But so some, so you have some degree three polynomial. And you have to compute the gap function of this f. And we conjecture that you cannot compute this gap function within some multiplicative error on average case in this time. So probabilistic some exponential time with NP order form. Okay. But at least people say, so my colleagues say, we don't know how to refute this conjecture. So maybe it's not easy. Just I ask the expert in classical finite complexity. At least they say this could be okay. But anyway, so if you assume this conjecture, then I can show that, for example, N-qubit IQP model cannot be classically simulated within additive error in this some exponential time. So this is a result for additive error case. But again, this is for worst case. So maybe we want to show this for average case, for example. Okay? And so I cannot explain details of proof, but the basic idea is if you know the original proof of average case hardness, we have three steps. So first, we use Markov inequality. Then we use Stock-Meyer. And finally, we use some anti-concentration theorem. And for Markov and anti-concentration, it's the same, even for exponential time case. But for Stock-Meyer, this is true only for a polynomial time classical simulation. So we have to generalize this for exponential time. But anyway, this is just straightforward. So in this way, I can show this. OK, so finally, I explain the last topic of my talk, which is T-scaling and stabilizer rank. So far, I have studied only N-scaling. So this means, so N is the number of qubits. So this means I increase the number of qubits, and I want to see how time complexity of classical simulation increases if I increase the number of N. OK? But also, T-scaling is interesting. So Clifford plus T is universal, T is this gate. And people often say that Clifford is easy, but T is difficult. So for example, if you consider fault-tolerant quantum computation, a transversal gate can be done easily for Clifford gate, but this is difficult for non-Clifford gate. So maybe near-term machine will be dominated by Clifford gate, and you will have only Q T gates. So maybe in this case, it will be interesting to study how complexity, time complexity of classical simulation scales if I increase the number of T gates. Okay. This is a summary of known result. So first, this is a trivial upper bound. So this is if you do brute force classical simulation, of course you can simulate in this time. So just you divide a T gate into two Clifford gates, and if you run Gottesman new exponentially many times, then you can compute. Of course you can compute. So this is a trivial upper bound. And interesting non-trivial upper bound is this one. So they show that you can classically strongly simulate quantum circuit in this time. Okay? So this is known upper bound. And for lower bound, trivial lower bound is of course polynomial. So if you assume that BQP is not equal to BTP, then of course this is lower. So you need this, at least this time for classical simulation. And my result is if you assume ETH, then this is lower bound. Okay. So now I explain this one. But before that, first I explain their result. So their result is based on the so-called T-gadget. So T-gadget is the following. So if you have a T-magic state, then you can realize T-gate by only Clifford sum. So this means if you have some unitary circuit U over Clifford gate and T gates, then you can simulate this unitary by using this circuit. So you have input, as input, you have T copy of T magic space, and if you post select, then you can realize this U gate with only Clifford circuit. So this means this equality is true. So this is some circuit over Clifford and T gates. And by using this T gadget, this quantity is equal to this one. So this W is some Clifford circuit. And this is just a T copy of T magic state. And you post select here, OK? And now let's assume that this T copy of T magic state is written as a linear combination of stabilizer state. So stabilizer state is just a state generated by applying Clifford gate on all zero state. Okay? And so if I put this relation here, I have this one. Okay? Now this is computable in polynomial time because this is just stabilizer state applied by Clifford circuit. So by using Gottesman-Neill, you can compute this in polynomial time. Okay? And if you add all terms, then you can compute this one. And time complexity of computing this is just chi, because you have to chi number of this time. Okay? And they show that chi is upper bounded by this non-trivial exponential. So this means your time complexity is this one. So you need only this time to compute this. Okay? So, but the upper bound is just obtained by some heuristic argument. So they consider a stabilizer rank of six copy of T matrices. So maybe you can improve their result by considering more nice decomposition. Okay? So maybe you can improve to this one. But my result is not, you cannot improve to this value if you believe ETH. Okay? So the result is the following. So if ETH is true, then Clifford plus TT gate quantum computing cannot be classically strongly simulated in this time. So here for simplicity, I consider only strong simulation, but also I can show similar result for a sampling case. Okay? And ETH is the following conjecture. So you are given some 3CNF SAT. So you are given 3CNF, and you have to solve SAT problem with n variables, and you cannot do this in this time. So this is ETH, okay? And also a similar result was obtained by these people independently. And the idea is as follows. So first, there is some nice lemma, which is called the sparsification lemma. And if you use this sparsification lemma, we have another definition, another equivalent definition of ETH. So here, instead of number of variables, we have number of clauses here, M. So M is number of clauses. So in original ETH, you have n here, number of variables, but now you have a number of clauses. Okay? And so let F be a 3CNF with M clauses. Okay? So this means this F contains 2M AND gates, and also M minus 1 OR gate. So this means, and each AND gate can be simulated by using single Toffoli gate. And also OR gate can be simulated by using Toffoli. So this means I need 3M minus 1 Toffoli gate. So because I want to compute this by using quantum computer, so I need some reversible gate. So the AND OR are not reversible, so I have to simulate them by using reversible gate. Okay? So now I need 3M minus 1 Toffoli gate. And a single Toffoli gate can be realized by using 7 T gates. This means I need this number of T gates. So this is my quantum circuit, which use many Clifford gates, and also this number of T gates. Okay? And this is just equal to number of solutions of this 3CN. Okay? So now let's assume that I can compute this quantity in this time, in small order T, this time. Okay? But T is linear as M, a linear function of M. So this means I can also compute this quantity in this time. So this means I can compute this in this time. But this contradicts the ETH, so this version of ETH. So that's why I cannot compute this quantity in this time. Okay. Technically, this sparsification lemma is very important. So if instead of this, if I use the original definition of ETH, then the result is weaker. Because 3CNF contains n to 3 number of clauses. Okay. So if I do the same proof, I have a relation between number of T gate, T is equal to n to 3. Okay. Then the final result is, I cannot compute this quantity in this time. But this is equal to this one. So this is weaker than previous result. Okay. So that's why I need sparsification lemma. Okay. And so one interesting corollary of our result is stabilizer rank conjecture is true if you assume ETH. Okay? Stabilizer rank is defined in the following way. So you are given some state, and you decompose this as a linear combination of stabilizer states. And so stabilizer rank is just the smallest integer k that allows this decomposition. Okay? And so they show that the stabilizer rank is upper bounded by this explanation. And they made a conjecture which says stabilizer rank conjecture. This is this. Okay. And so this is conjecture, but one known best unconditional lower bound is this. So this is nice because this is unconditional, but this is very weak, just a square. Okay. And so by using similar proof, I can show that stabilizer rank conjecture is true if ETH is true. Okay, so I can also explain H scaling. So far I have considered Clifford plus T, but also you can consider H plus diagonal gates. That are also universal. Okay. And in this gate set, we can say that diagonal gates are classic, but H gate is a resource of quantum speed because we change basis. Okay, and so maybe it is also interesting to consider how time complexity of classical simulation scales if we increase the number of H gates. Okay, and we have two results. One is upper bound. So there exists some of this non-trivial exponential time algorithm that can strongly simulate this HTCZ sum. Okay. And the second result is lower bound. So if you assume this conjecture, which is similar to modified CES, then H plus classical gate circuit cannot be classically sampled in this time, this exponential time. So this H is a number of H gate, other value. Okay. Okay, so anyway, so this is the last slide. So let me summarize my talk. So first I have explained background of traditional quantum supremacy. And traditional quantum supremacy prohibit only polynomial time classical simulation. Okay. But if you consider fine-grained version of quantum supremacy, then you can also exclude exponential time classical simulation. Okay. And also if you consider Clifford plus T, circuit, then you can show that the Clifford plus T circuit cannot be classically simulated in this time. Or also we can say stabilizer rank conjecture is true under ETH. Okay, so thank you very much for your attention.
Questions? Okay, let me start off. So, I think you said that you also had an average case, sampling result for the Clifford plus T circuits.
Unfortunately, no.
So you don't have.
Yeah, okay. So I don't have any average result.
Okay. Do you? I mean, you have some sense of what would be needed for that?
So maybe average case is better than worst case result. But for this Clifford T case, maybe actually I haven't considered about this Clifford plus T. So for n qubit scaling, I considered some average case version. But for Clifford T case, maybe so we have an average version of ETH. So if we use this average ETH, maybe we can also show average result for Clifford plus T.
Okay.
Maybe a follow up, maybe it's the same question, I'm not sure. So we say average case, is that now targeting a different task of like for example, this approximate stabilizer rank conjecture. My real question is: do you think that there's some hope of showing that the because I think you know this 2 to the 0.46 whatever it is probably not optimal, but for the case of approximate stabilizer rank, we believe that we know what the answer is.
Yeah.
So do you think there's any hope?
Yeah, so that's another important subject. So average means, average means, so for example, in this result, what this result says is there exists at least one quantum circuit, which cannot be classically simulated. So this is the worst case. So maybe I want to, I have to show there exist many quantum circuits. It's not a classical simulator. In that sense, I say average. And so, and what you said is another important point. So here I consider only stabilizer rank, exact stabilizer rank. This is exact stabilizer rank. And actually, for the purpose of classical simulation, approximate stabilizer rank with precision 1 over 4 is here. But unfortunately, for this approximate stabilizer rank, I don't know how to show similarizer. And the reason is, we have this exponentially large factor here. So if this precision is 1 over 4, I cannot say anything about this number f. So I need exponentially small precision to compute this, to say something about this number f.
But isn't it true that when you have like a weak simulation task where the goal is to sample within epsilon and L1 norm from the output distribution, then on average, if you look at an amplitude, it will be approximated to within epsilon over 2 to the n. This is this Markov
argument
that you referenced earlier.
So, but if this n is equal to this polynomial, so maybe. So, for example, if this is 2n, then maybe 3. That's a nice idea which I haven't imagined. So
any more questions?
Okay.
Let's thank you again.